Hola and welcome to the Curious Bodhi podcast. I'm your hostess, Nyana B. I'm here with Rodrigo Jacinto, who appeared in my last podcast, and I didn't get a chance to introduce him properly, but this time I will. We really have no qualifications except the qualifications of being human beings. I believe that every guest on my show is important, whether they're a high lama or a regular person or anything in between. I'm also a regular person, so yeah, we should all open up the discussions to be able to communicate as people, just people. So Rodrigo is a very special person to me because he, how do I say this? I moved to Portugal and he was the first person who really tried to understand me and my friend's situation. And he has been like an angel. He is an angel. If there are angels on earth, he's one of them, walking without wings. And I really love his positive spirit, and I'm sure it will come through in our chat. And I want to introduce him as a special guest because I think that his spirit has something to add to the world that we all need. And it's the ultimate form of, you could say, optimism or positivity. And I'm going to let him speak. We are talking today about clarity, and we're going to connect it to many other issues. Issues of Buddhism, issues of spirituality, maybe culture and anthropology, being a human being. But I want to get Rodrigo's perspective, first of all, on what is clarity. So here you go.
Hello, I'm Rodrigo. I'm happy to be doing this. I'm gonna talk about clarity. Clarity for me is a concept, it's a big concept, it's not a simple thing. It's something, even sometimes we don't think in our lives, but that's the point all of us try to reach at some point, because even if we are with good spirit, bad spirit, it doesn't matter. It's just some point it comes to us because we try to understand more about life and more about ourselves. And yeah, clarity is a really nice concept, because we can turn it and we can change it in ourselves. It's not something completely hold forever or just something like unique. It's something we can change it. We can change in another people, and that's the beautiful point about this. And clarity, in my opinion, for example, in my experience, I'm getting more and more and more. And it's about, for me, for example, it's about the people I live, the people I hang out, the people I see yesterday, the people I love, they love me as well. And it's about the spirit I try to wake up every day and try to do my things, the things I like, and try to be happy and try to make people happy as well. Because that's the nice point of life. Be happy together.
And I think you're really good at making people happy. Like, you have this sense of like giving to others and to be there even if you don't want to, because I know a lot of people would not sacrifice themselves enough just to say, okay, I'm not busy today, so I'm going to help you, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that like feeds into having a clear mind, is to help other people, help other beings who are struggling, and maybe like you know that something easy for you is not easy for them, so you're going to try to help. And that's like contained in the spirit of being clear in your mind, because you have a clear conscience.
Yes, I agree with that. That's true, because I think when we wake up every day, that's the first point we try to make on us, like how we are, how our people are. If everybody is good, if we have some problem, it's always the first and the main thing we will think about, how to manage it, how to change it if we can. And that's the point. Love, I think it's the first thing that comes to our brain all the time, because we can have something materialistic, we can think about something we need, but on the end, the happiness of how we and our people are, that's what gives us the perfect effort to live and to get that something material. If we would not have people, the material would be nothing.
I'm going to connect this to Buddhism now, because first of all, no matter what branch of Buddhism you follow, there's something called a bodhisattva, or even compassion. Bodhisattva maybe is more technical, and it's for Mahayana Buddhists. But the first point in Buddhism is about compassion. And what that means is that you try your best to give up your selfish identity and you, what you want and your needs and your desires and your fears, anything connected to you. And you say, okay, I'm going to give this up for a while because maybe I can focus on this person, this other being, whether they're your friend or even whether you don't know them that well. So it's like, if we can extend our bubble beyond ourself, like Rodrigo said, like we're waking up and we're like, how are my friends? How are my family? Even how are the people that I don't like, but maybe I have to see them, my enemies, say. Yeah. You know, we're always thinking about how to interact with them. So it's about compassion, but also the other thing I wanted to say is that all beings, no matter who you are, what religion you follow, race, gender, it doesn't matter. We all want peace, peace and happiness. And to be peaceful, you need to be peaceful with yourself, but also with other people. If there are problems hanging around, we won't have a clear mind. We won't be in clarity.
Yeah, one really important thing I think is our approaches for the people. Our approach for the people is so important, because in some cases, for example, we have some people coming to us, or some person in this case, coming with some bad feeling, for example, rage. And our approach is always the important thing, because if we answer to the rage with the opposite, completely opposite, the rage is turning to something better. Just giving an example, if somebody is my enemy and that person hates me, I'm like approaching to that person and saying right away, for me, you are a good person, you are beautiful, you are doing the right thing. And that person will be shaped by what I'm saying and will turn good feelings on her, on that person. And that person can't take it like serious, like the rage and not the feeling she was feeling before. It's completely changing the mind, because everything is infecting of feelings and approaches of people between them.
I agree. It's like if somebody comes to you with an angry mood, you don't have to respond with anger. It's actually, gunshots. It's actually, I think, a biological response to respond to anger with anger, because it's like about the ego. It's about self-preservation. Like that person's angry with me, so I'm going to turn around and be angry with them, and then I win. It's like having the last word. It's really childish. But when we're mature and we kind of grow up, we realize that their anger stays with them until they realize they're angry.
Yes, it's not the most important. The most important is just to feel good and make that person feel good yourself. And that's the point. If you respond with some good feeling, that person will always get some level of good feelings. And it's impossible to go to bad feelings, because it's not getting an answer on that level.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely changing the mind right away. And it's an involuntary thing, in my opinion.
It's like cycling through the wheel of samsara. This is the wheel, if any of our listeners are unfamiliar, in Buddhist cosmology and Vedic cosmology as well, they have samsara, where we're cycling through existence. So they represent it like animals, the animal realm, the hell realms, the god realm, and we're in the human realm, which is a very lucky place to be, because we can feel all these cool human things. But if we can also put our emotions or our intellect or any other facet of being human on this samsaric wheel. So, for example, if somebody gets mad at me and I do the stupid thing and respond with anger, then I'm cycling. I'm cycling, because they responded to me, I'm responding to them, I'm infecting them, they're infecting me, I'm infecting other people. And we're cycling around and around until we get it right.
True, I really agree. I really agree with that. I think we shouldn't preserve it, because we should left all the situations of our lives like this is good, this is peaceful, this is done for me. This is not preserving bad feelings on me. This is just left in me like I am and like I feel good. Why I'm being different of what I am, you know?
I have a question specifically about clarity and the mind, because spirituality, and we're all spiritual beings, I believe, by default. We will figure this out at one point or another. Spirituality deals with what we call the mind. So it encompasses your intellect and your emotions and your view of the world and even the material objects. Like, we're walking past some pears. I see pears, he sees pears, but we might see them a little differently. So anyway, clarity. Do you think that clarity as a concept in the mind is something small or something big, like a larger picture?
Yes. I think it's like what I said before. I think it's something you can take, it's like small in some point of your life, because you're just not thinking. You're thinking in your pleasures, in your desires, in your habits, because you have to work, because you have to do something, you have to take care of some people, you have to do... It's usual for people to do the life and not thinking about the rest and about the big picture on that. The big picture of what we did, and if it's worth it, if it's making us happy. Yeah, but on the end, it's not a small thing. It's a really big thing, because it's the balance about everything. It's the balance about our loves, the balance about our friends, our family, our everything, and how we treat people, how we do our things. Because if I'm doing something, if I'm working, if I'm practicing sport, anything, it's about my spirit and my effort to do that. And if I'm doing with a nice spirit and with the balance that I know I'm being happy and my life is going with my flow and I'm not struggling about that, it's a completely voluntary thing. You will always do the things correct, I think.
So if you have clarity, it's like you're doing your best no matter what situation you're in.
No matter, because happiness sometimes it's not like I'm happy, you know? It's not just say I'm happy. It's you feel it. You feel it. You don't need to think about that. You don't need people to say you're happy. You just know that, and you do it involuntary.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you feel it, and you're doing something you like. You're doing something you need. Doesn't matter if you need or you have to struggle to do that. But if you have the perfect effort and spirit in life, you will always like manage. It's 1 hour, but 1 hour turns in 10 minutes if you don't like something, you know? It's completely reducing yourself and bringing you to everything is cool, everything is different, but it's beautiful, and everything just goes. You don't need to struggle like forever and thinking I did this and this is bad and I'm being bad because of this, you know?
Yeah, it's, you made a good point about whatever you're doing. If you have a clear mind, then you will always be happy. We could talk about what happiness is, but you will always have some sort of satisfaction. Because, I think I could be wrong, but my interpretation of clarity used to be like that. It's a small concept. Like, what is clarity? Like looking through a window. A window is clear. It's something you get once in a while. Like, mm-hmm. It's 3 p.m. Now I have clarity, you know? But it's not like that. It's like whatever situation you're in, you have the inner strength, the inner guide to pull you through that, whether it's good, bad, or neutral. And that's happening all the time.
That's true.
And so I think that clarity is not a small concept, and we have to view it in the larger picture. Like if we study the Vedas or the Buddhist suttas, we can see that the Buddha was perfectly clear about life. And there were other Buddhas too, not just Siddhartha, but He was perfectly clear about life, but he was still doing things every day. He was waking up, he was working, he was walking, he was teaching, he was eating, he was doing all the human things. So it's not like he was in a state of clarity and he didn't move. It's like, no, he had clarity in everything that he's doing. And I think that that's maybe the larger picture about what clarity is in the mind.
Yeah, yeah. I really agree. I think, for example, about Buddhist people or Buddhists, I think you always got some points on your life you will get better, and you have some points between that you will get worse. But that point of worst is about something that is happening, and you will always know in yourself that you have another point later that will be good for you. And mm-hmm. you know, and you just know your destiny is coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to struggle because you know your life is being beautiful. And if it's not so beautiful on some moment, it will be. And sometimes we are loathing, sometimes we are crying. But we know later, we know that after we are crying, we will loathe, you know?
Yeah,
we will
it's
be
not
smiling
the end
again.
Of the world.
Yeah, we will be smiling again.
Exactly.
That's the real point. Why make like a bad picture on ourselves because of something is happening bad, you know? It's also increasing our feelings. It's also expanding our mind. And yeah, if you have open mind to live like that and think about things like this, I think we can really be happy and genuinely. I really think.
I agree. I think too often people have too many expectations that are small-minded. I've come to learn about this in myself and other people, so it's like a dual thing. But for example, I want a situation to go like this. Say I go for a bike ride, something really simple, and I don't expect to fall, and I fall. You know, will I be upset? Maybe. But if we expand our consciousness and know that not everything is in our little control, not everything can be micromanaged, we have to just be open to life, that will bring a stronger sense of clarity, and also it will promote fearlessness, because we know that the human body, mind, and spirit is really resilient. Like, you have to look at all the things you've been through in your life and realize that you got through them and you're still standing here today, and you're able to listen, you're able to see, you're able to work, and you're able to laugh, you know, you're able to be fully human. So clarity is expansive, really.
Yeah, I could make a point about this. For example, we can think about life, and if we think about life, all of us will think the same: life is amazing. So if we have bad feelings and good feelings and middle feelings, doesn't matter, we will always have all of them. But if we are having, for example, bad feelings, it's the low level on life. But if it's the low level, it's a bad thing of an amazing thing. Think what it is. It's amazing as well. It will be always cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, like constant ups and downs. Like, nobody gets through life completely static. It's always changing, it's dynamic, it's very up and down. Of course, if we're completely enlightened, or as somebody I really admire likes to say, as we become perfect, which I believe we can become perfected beings, until that time, we have to take the ups and downs as the divinity itself working through us. Because like Rodrigo said, for every low point we hit, there's a high point coming.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you can go low and low and low, and then you can say commit suicide, but are you really getting out of it? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think there's always a lower point and a higher point that you can go. So that's also connected to cyclic existence or samsara. And one last thing I want to connect to is the fact that scientists say, material scientists in the past 200 years say they know what death is. It's a biological end to life. They say they know that there's nothing after death, and this life is all you have. Well, I would ask those scientists, are you so sure? How do you know? Have you been there? Have you done it? And why do you assume that everybody should just instantly believe that? Because if we just believe that, and this life is all there is, then if you commit suicide, you go really low, like some of us have, then you think you're getting out of it. You think you got your ticket out, but you didn't. There's always more to be done. And I think that's also looking at the bigger picture, because if life isn't only focused solely on this physical existence and what we're going through right now, we can open up and see, oh, this low isn't the lowest. This high isn't the highest. There's always more to explore.
It's true. I think, for example, talking about science on this point of relation, we can take it like serious, because science can't measure feelings. Science can make exactly things, or can discover something more about something exactly, but can't really measure feelings, because feelings is what is almost all we have. Is something we feel, we can't explain to anybody,
yeah.
But sometimes by our expressions, by our talk, by our tone of voice, we can feel it in other people. Not 100%, we can't understand 100%, but we can just feel it and infect other people with a good feeling, good spirit, and kindness. But yeah, it's a really infinite thing. We will never find it, like, this is this, or this is this, and this is the mystery and the beauty of life, for me.
Yeah, me too. Like you, I'm a feelings person. I sense with my... I'm very five-sense oriented. I like to be in this physical reality. I can only assume that there are people who are not much physically here. They're more mental in their way of experiencing, like they're very in the head, and some people are more in the body and in the heart. But like you, I'm very feelings oriented, so as well as five senses, like intuitive, like something inside, some feeling like I have to do this, or I should say that, or it's like a guidance, but it feels like it's inside my body somewhere. And this sense is never going to be measured by scientific paradigms. Like, what is an emotion? What is love?
Yeah,
can we measure love?
You can't. And I'm really happy we can do this and we can live like that, because that's the only way. At some point we can't be hurt, like full hurt. Anything that is exactly can be broken and can be hurt. But our feelings will always preserve and remember the best we had. And even the bad feelings will always stay with us, but the good feelings and the huge good feelings will always take them. We'll always take the bad feelings and make it flow like everything is just going amazing.
Yeah, and you reminded me another point about Buddhism in a podcast I was listening to by, I believe it was Dharma Bites, Free Buddhist Audio. You can look them up on Spotify. But the Dharma teacher was talking about how in Buddhism, they don't stress enough when you're learning about it, the use of positive emotions. Actually, positive emotions in Buddhism are really, really, really important. Like, more than just thinking that I should be compassionate, so I'm going to do A, B, and C. No, it's like how you feel inside and how you treat other people, because that's what's infectious. Our vibration at like a vibratory level, you can sense something if you're sensitive enough about another person. And to tap into that and to use it is really powerful stuff.
Yes, I think all of us, we have this sense. We just have to discover ourselves sometimes and be calm and sit with ourselves alone and think how we are growing our feelings and how we are staying, how we are feeling with that, how this is giving to us, if this is being positive. But we have definitely to stop and think how to love and think how to preserve it. That's the beauty of life. It's the completely beauty of life to love and to put people happy. And the last moment of your life will always be die, but die happy, it's possible.